like Dr. Scott Morrell says, when he starts his speeches, he has a voice suited more for public national public radio. You'll find that my voice is more suitable for Hee Haw. I am from Southern Illinois. I'm actually from Southern Indiana, but I moved to Southern Illinois about 25 years ago. And I've been there ever since. I haven't run me off yet, but I'm close enough to the Wabash River. I can still see the sky over Indiana if I need to. It's already been a highlight for me. I got to talk to Dr. Fred Below out in the hallway and Dr. Greg Willoughby. So I'm ready to go back to Illinois. I've had a good conference. Nutrient stabilizers, we're working on some things to try to eliminate this. We don't want to see muddy water. If we see muddy water going down a creek or going down a stream or going down the Wabash or going down the Ohio or the Mississippi, we're losing nutrients. Not only are we losing nutrients, but we're losing valuable soil. So we're doing a lot of things in our end of the state to try to remediate that. Some of the tools that we're using for nutrient management, you wouldn't normally think about for nutrient management. We're looking at gypsum as a sulfur source, ammonium sulfate, ammonium thiosulfate, humic products, micronutrients. Who thought about a micronutrient being a nitrogen management tool or a nutrient management tool? Of course, stabilizers and then residue management on the phosphorus side to keep that soil in place so that we're not losing phosphorus into those muddy streams. And then we're using on-farm data. We're using data that we collect through yield monitors, data that we collect through as-applied data, digitized soil data, and a lot of other things that we try to implement to help our growers make better decisions. The importance of residue management as a tool is organic matter. Now, way back when I was in high school, Mr. Lowry, my ag teacher, told me, he said, don't worry about organic matter. There's nothing you can do about that. It's a physiological property of the soil. I was in the eighth grade, my first year in ag class, and I'm like, physiological, man, that's a big word. I think Mr. Lowry was doing that just to intimidate us. But we can affect organic matter. We can affect organic material with our residue management, and we can affect organic matter. 1% increase in organic matter is worth achieving because these are the things you gain with it. You gain more water holding capacity, you gain the ability to mineralize more nitrogen and sulfur, and you can very highly affect water infiltration. Been working with a grower in Edwards County and Wayne County, Illinois for about 25 years now, and he has actually raised his organic matter about 0.75% with continuous no-till over that time. That's pretty impressive. And if Mr. Lowry was still here today, I'd have to show him that. But it's pretty cool some of the things we're able to accomplish with conservation. These are my two favorite illustrations. Mulder's Globe and Liebig's Barrel. I use this with farmers not every day, but almost every day. And every talk I give, I talk about this. Because the more we understand about the interaction and antagonisms that go on in our soil and in our plants with our nutrients, the better we're going to be able to manage those nutrients. And to understand that if we've got one nutrient that's holding us back, this is where the four R's come in. The right product at the right rate at the right time. If we can manage that, we can definitely manage nutrients. This past year, I had a nutrient loss inhibitor demonstration plot in Wayne County. This was a cooperative effort, and I'm all about cooperative efforts. For one reason, I want to get some money out of people. For the other reason, it helps to kind of spread the workload. Plus, it helps to tell the message. And Illinois Farm Bureau has been a great partner with us on this, as well as Wayne County Farm Bureau, IFCA, Gene Payne with IFCA, the Fertilizer Institute. A lot of the different partners we've got that are helping us learn more about these programs. What we found in our nitrogen stabilizer trial was untreated check on the left, where we were stabilized with Infix, which is an NP Agritain product, and then 100 pounds of N with Nutrisphere N. Now you think, okay, they had stabilizers on there. We applied, the corn was planted, we came back with a drop spreader and made all our applications pre-emerge, the day after planting. We used urea for our nitrogen source. We treated it with whatever stabilizer, didn't treat it, untreated check, whatever. We had a 3/4 of an inch rain event within 48 hours. So that would tell you normally that a urease inhibitor should not have made a difference, but it did. In southern Illinois, where we've got high humidities, even in April, and we had high temperatures at that time, we were still volatilizing nitrogen even within 48 hours. We did an avail trial. We just wanted to see what we'd do with that. And you can see our yield differences without any DAP, with 150 pound of DAP, diammonium phosphate, and then 150 pound of DAP with avail. That shows us the importance of phosphorus early in the growing season and throughout the growing season. Then we did some micronutrient trials. And this didn't turn out quite as well as I would like, but we've got the untreated check, and then we've got a product that we came up with at the company that I work for, Wabash Valley. It's ProValley MME. It's got zinc, boron, hydrohume, magnesium, and I know everybody goes magnesium, oh my God, why are you adding magnesium? In our southern Illinois soils, if we don't add magnesium, we don't raise corn. So we have to add magnesium, and it's got some sulfur and a little bit of nitrogen in it. So we got a pretty nice yield boost there. And then we ran the Chara product, Sulfur Plus. It's synthetic gypsum with boron and zinc added to it. And we got a little more of a yield boost out of that. I attribute that to where they've got a very low leachate rate with their leachate trials they've done. And they're leaching that sulfur. For some reason, the calcium sulfate is hanging around better than the straight sulfate. I don't know why. I'm not a chemist. But that seems to be working pretty well. Another thing I want to talk about in a minute in my second presentation, but I wanted to point out today in this one, was we've done some extensive tile line monitoring in 9 of our 10 counties that we do business in. And one of the things we found is we're losing sulfur like crazy out the tile lines, which makes sense because it's an anion and it'll follow the nitrates and the borates as well. But we were finding as high as 800 parts per million of sulfate sulfur in the tile lines. And it was purely by accident we found this, because the lab that was doing our tile line water sample said, we'll run all 11 nutrients for you, won't charge you any more. Well, I like free. So, okay, we'll see what happens. We had no idea we were going to find this. And we are not finding it through our tissue testing that we're deficit in sulfur in the plant except for about 20% of the time. But we find on corn and soybeans that almost 100% of the time, if we do an added sulfur application, we increase yield. We increase yield, we increase nutrient uptake. So to me, that's a nutrient management tool. The more yield we take off and the more we sell as grain, the less we leave in the environment to lose as in runoff. And you know, sulfur dioxide emissions over the last long time, 40 years, have really changed. And I grew up in the shadow of the largest coal-fired power plant in North America. And when they built it in 1975, it was the largest coal-fired power plant in the world. And we didn't hurt for sulfur for a very, very long time. But now, they've actually bought about 70% of my old home farm in the Wabash River bottoms, and it's got synthetic gypsum, calcium sulfate, from the scrubbing process stacked about 150 feet deep on about 1,500 acres. So that's where our sulfur is. It's very concentrated now that was coming out of the power plants. But as you can see, we're not getting the sulfur from the atmosphere that we were at one time. And I made the mistake at the 4R's conference this summer of saying that acid rain was our friend, and I got hate mail, but it depends on your perspective. And the addition of sulfur, this was in our in-lid trial, and you can see over the untreated check, regardless of what our sulfur source was, we got a positive yield response, even AMS. And we're looking at different combinations of AMS with the environmental or economic times that we're in right now. We're looking to try to use more AMS because it's our cheapest source of sulfur. And I don't like elemental because I can't get farmers to put elemental on every year, so they've constantly got it breaking down. I have got some of them to at least put some sulfate sulfur in with their elemental, which is the best program. But I'll take what I can get when I can get it. If I can get them to put sulfur on them, I'm pleased. Nitrogen management tips. Manage nitrogen for return on investment, not maximum yield. Multiple applications spread risk and increase nutrient use efficiency. We can get by with less in if we use the 4 R's and consider all 11 essential nutrients. That's very important. We've got to consider them all. This isn't rocket science. It's a whole lot harder. Want to get through this real quick because I'm running out of time. I'm only going to cut into my own time, Randy.
I know.
That's why you put me back to back. I know. This is a farm that is just about a mile and a half from my house, and that's hard to see, but basically what we did was we put ammonia on. This grower put ammonia on, stabilized with InServe at 175 pounds per acre with a quart of InServe. He went to the little blue patch, and he reduced his ammonia rate to 125 pounds of N, stabilized with InServe. Then we came back with 46 pounds of actual N with urea, 11 pounds of actual N with AMS, and that was all stable. Or the urea was stabilized with Nutrisphere. We ended up with 5 more pounds of nitrogen on the multiple application, but just because that's the way it worked out. We got a positive return, including the extra application and the extra stabilizer of $47 plus per acre was split up with one additional application, just splitting that nitrogen up. Now, granted, this is a pretty productive piece of dirt, as you can tell, 222 bushel in southern Illinois. That's pretty good, but that's pretty telling. Practices to reduce nutrient loss, multiple apps, cover crops, stabilizers. We're fertilizing each crop instead of fertilizing the corn and expecting the beans to scavenge. We're lowering that phosphorus load, so we're not making one application every 2 or even 3 years of a huge amount of phosphorus to try to keep that phosphorus in place, and moving away from tillage practices to reduce erosion. Okay, that's all that one, Randy. Any questions? Yes, sir.
So, do you think the split application is a new normal in that?
We've been working that way for about the last 5 years, and to tell you that it's very highly adopted, I can't say that. I would say if we're doing 20% of our total trade area with the multiple applications, unless you count the nitrogen and the DAP on the plow down as an extra application, I don't. We're also doing some foliar application using Coron at Tassel, but I don't see the fantastic yield results that we get. I mean, we've got a positive... Oh, sorry. I'm not used to people not being able to hear me. And then we're also doing three steps. We're doing the pre-plant top dress with using urea and ammonium sulfate, and then doing a foliar or a fertigation. And we're also running some UAN 32% through fertigation. So we've got quite a bit of irrigation along the Wabash River. We've got about 1,000 irrigation systems in our trade area. So we're doing a little bit. But multiple applications is only being adopted on about 20%. But we're getting there. Yes, sir. We done?
Yes. The 10 season nitrogen application, you probably said it, but what time are you shooting for with that?
We're shooting it, I know it sounds early, but we're shooting at V5 to V7 is where we're getting our best bang for our buck. We've tried waiting later, but I don't know if we're running out of nitrogen. We shouldn't be, because we're putting no more than 50% on, or no less than 50% on pre-plant. But it seems like that V5 to V7 stage, you know, it makes more sense to me to go later because we're pushing that nitrogen usage back farther in the season. But if we go back farther, we're not really seeing as any better results than getting it on when we can get it on. Plus, it's a timing thing. You know, we're in the Wabash River Basin. We get a rain in West Lafayette, Indiana, and we're underwater 3 days later. So, you know, we've got to kind of take it when we can get it. Yes, sir.
Just out of curiosity, if you go past V5, V6 on corn, how are you making your application when the corn's knee high?
High clearance spreader.
Spread it on surface?
Spread. Dry spreader. Yeah, we've got both Road Gators and John Deere high clearance spreaders with narrow tires, and we can get over corn. We are working on a few locations getting a high clearance sprayer and running something with solution. I don't like Hagee sprayers because they don't hold up, but I don't make the operations decisions. So, but yeah, that's what we're using. We're using high clearance spreaders, very similar to what was illustrated in the first presentation this morning. Anything else? Yes, sir.
Any guesses to what caused the high sulfate concentrations and how high was the nitrate concentration?
Repeat that, please.
The high sulfate concentrations you found in the tile water. What's your explanation for that? And also, how high were the nitrate levels?
The nitrate levels were anywhere from our highest nitrate levels were in the 70 to 80 parts per million, and that was coming out of an injected 7,000 gallon per acre liquid hog manure every year in the fall, and we tested for about, well, two full growing seasons, 12 months, and it every time we got a rain, we'd get another spike. Even if we'd not made a manure or nitrogen application, so that organic N is just continuing to mineralize and continuing to cause problems. How we got 800 parts per million, I have no idea, unless there's some parent material issues there, because no one's applying that much. We found no correlation between applied sulfur and what we lost through the tile drains, because most of the farms that we were testing weren't, well, probably a third of the farms weren't even customers of ours. It was through a blind study through Farm Bureau, through a Farm Bureau grant. So I don't know what some of them, even what they applied, what that correlation is, I don't know. But I know we were finding it.